Hare Krishna. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. I'm just quickly Skype, sort of zooming through, looking at some of the names and faces. By the way, I'm going to speak to facilitate translators, which means that I will stop every sentence. And I'm looking through. Okay, there's not a terrible amount of pictures there. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for visiting. I think we have Russian speakers, which means Ukraine, Russia, and the Romania, and then other Russian-speaking countries. We have Hungarians. We have Turks, I believe. And yes, they're waving at me over here. Who's that? Nishinga's waving at me. And what other language have we got? We got the English-speaking people. Don't forget them. So this is an experiment. I've really been putting off conferences. Russian conferences we've been having since I don't know when. They have been the most consistent and persistent members. Maybe 10 years, I don't know, we've been having that. And I wanted to have similar conferences. I had a recent one with Turkish devotees. Now I'm trying to see how I can bring everyone together, since more or less the subject is the same. What really changes is the language. Is this all right the way I'm talking for the translators? Well, unless someone's nodding their head. Nishanta's nodding her head. Okay. This means that we can all be together in one space, and I can have more regular conferences. Otherwise, if I have one conference a week, then that means one language a week. That means I get around to you once a month. This way, if time permits, I'll end up, we can end up having weekly conferences like this. I have to get used to doing these pauses and waiting. I'm used to doing it when I hear someone else translating. And then I know when they've actually finished talking. Now, in my mind, I'm just translating in Hungarian, and when I finish, then I start again. So I hope everyone is really well. You know, we've had serious losses over the last 6 months of Vaishnavas due to this pandemic. And Nishanta, move your screen down a little, so then I'm going to see when your mouth stops moving. Yeah, and then I know when to continue. In fact, if I... No doubt that there's probably been as many losses since then of devotees to non-COVID related issues. Ultimately, this is the way the world works. That Krishna says that everything is temporary. Dukalayam, ashashvatam. It's problematic and temporary. And that means us also. We really shouldn't think that we're here for ever, just because we're devotees. There will be an end, and as you can see, you don't know when that end is going to come. The good thing is that we are in a position that we can avoid having to take birth again. Coming back into this material world is not something we want. So let's practice Krishna consciousness in a way that helps us move on to Krishna. Okay, I think you've heard, but I'm just mentioning, it's obvious I'm sitting here in New Brajadam. I'm outside as opposed to being inside. And you may wonder why I'm sitting with the sun shining in my eyes. And that's because if I sit upstairs in my room, the sun's going to be shining in my eyes anyway. So, and I'm making the most of being outside. I'm sort of I'm not a house creature. I don't like being inside. For me, inside is another word for jail. But the times now are going to come when staying outside becomes cooler and cooler. And no doubt we are going to be here. I wonder if Yashashvini online? Anyway, I can't hear anything, and I'm just of course this for Nishinga's putting his finger up, but you don't know about Yashashvini. And I see Devarshi and Anyway, there's a big Y for Yadu Hari, Hare Krishna Yadu Hari. And anyway, it doesn't look like going to Mayapur is on the cards. So we'll be here most likely until spring, another 6 months. It's wonderful being here. And now with, if our sort of restrictions are lifted here on sort of my semi-quarantine restrictions, more or less I'm always in semi-quarantine. Which means people don't just freely come and go here. And I interact in a sort of very restricted way with the temple. So we've started to go. Our team, I have my team sitting here. And Shambihari and Brajraj and Divya Kali and Manjwali. And so we now we've been doing that every alternate day in the evening we take over the deity department. And that means there's only us on the altar, and Brajraj is making puris and hot milk for Radhe Shyam, and more or less we are the only ones there. So that's very nice, because I've been really distant from Radhe Shyam for the last 5 months, occasionally going to dress, and now we're doing it in the evening. When there's not many devotees in the temple room. Few devotees there doing bhajan, very nice bhajans. Last night it was Premavati, 12-year-old Premavati, daughter of Aryadev. She was leading kirtan for an hour and a half. So anyway, we're here, and we're all okay. In fact, not only are we okay, we have our own COVID test kit. Anyone who wants to step in on the property gets their fingers pricked, and they have to wait until Dr. Bihari gives them the result of their test. There have been certain health issues since I've been here. Some have been neurological, others have been otherlogical, some have been a result of medication. All in all, it's been sort of a hulambashut. A roller coaster. I need an English translator here. A roller coaster ride. It's been a roller coaster ride. And next week I'm hoping to take 2 weeks off. So I probably won't be doing any kind of conferences in that time up until the beginning of October. A little water. that's someone told me a long time ago that they read my palm, whichever palm you read, one is the past, one is the future, I don't know. They said that at a certain age, age 60, I would start getting bad health, and they were right. But anyway, Krishna said that a long time ago, and he didn't have to look at my palm either. Okay, just some important announcement. We have Napariham books newly published. Tudatolvan as we. And I'll just show you, because I spoke about it on Sunday, but I want to show a copy. Really, really beautiful size book. And it's in terms of thickness, of course. And both in Hungarian and English, it's available. It's sitting. I'm going to be distributing some here, or at least Nishanta Lila is going to be on Sunday. It's really, really a nice size. When people say, oh, that's too big, I can't read a big book. This is not a big book. Very lovely paper. And still beautiful hand pasted in post. I don't know if you know that putting these things in has to be glued in by hand, one by one. So get your orders while they last, and one good practice is to get one for each member of the family, which means if you purchase for existing members and then buy for a couple of future generations as well. So then you have them for them. After all, there's no guarantee how easily books are going to be available. But one thing for sure, it's going to cost your grandchildren more. So if you want to be able to get a good deal, then you can buy them in bunches of 10, and I'm sure that Bhakti Devi can work something out for you. As we used to say to some of our customers at the airports in Chicago, we will give you 6 for the price of 9. They were thrilled. Anyway, I don't have to say any more about what kind of people were thrilled with that kind of deal. okay, and even or equally important, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, I can't show it to you because it's coming in 2 days. Does that mean we're going to have it Sunday? Do you know Nishanta? No. Anyway, it's coming from the printer tomorrow, Saturday, so I guess coming tomorrow. And Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani is available. And thanks to sponsorship of devotees who've helped in sponsoring the publication of the books. You may wonder why we offer up the opportunity to offset the printing cost to devotees. And the reason is because the price that we actually sell the books, we try to cover all the other costs that potentially come before printing. It doesn't fully cover, but anyway, it goes some distance. Because we're maintaining the quality of the printing. That's sort of a principle of our Lal Publishing House, is that we're dedicated to quality. And so what to speak of content, maybe you can hear the parrots up there. So, in terms of content, in terms of language, in terms of actually the quality of the book itself and artwork, we're trying to present the best possible quality. And devotees aren't necessarily used to paying the actual value for books, because they're used to BBT books, which really publish in large quantities, especially English language, Russian language. So that's sort of the story, brief story of our books, and the next book, once I finish this little break, and then we do a filming session for little videos. Then I'll start with the next book, which will be an expansion of Vilap Kusumanjali, which is in Navabraja Mahima. And that has extraordinary artwork. Anyway, you'll see it when you see it. Really, really beautiful, and a lot. Not what you're used to seeing in books. These are all paintings. Okay. And the last thing is thank you to devotees. Estos asztaltalis lehet vinni most már innét, azt hiszem. Már nagyobb árnyékot csinál. Thank you to devotees who have done Nitya Seva over the last couple of weeks, over this year. It's been, considering how unhealthy the climate has been around us, Nitya Seva has been comparatively healthy. So that's by the grace of the Vaishnavas. I'd like to, this morning, I don't know if you had opportunity to listen to the podcast. This may be a little repetitive. Day before yesterday was Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America. Well, not exactly. It was the 55th anniversary of Prabhupada's arrival in America. It would be a very good thing if yesterday was when Prabhupada arrived in America. But it was 55 years ago. And I'm not going to take a roll call here, but or even embarrass anybody, but there aren't many people on this conference who were alive at that time. And it's a historical event, a calendar event, that we should really take seriously, although we're not celebrating it like we do Janmashtami or Radhashtami. And in one sense, it's understandable. But Prabhupada's arrival in America is more important than Janmashtami or Radhashtami. And you know the reason, and that's because if Prabhupada didn't arrive in America, you wouldn't be celebrating Janmashtami or Radhashtami. So we only have so many wonderful festivals, and we've got Govardhan Puja coming up, but we only celebrate these festivals because Prabhupada came. And as momentous an occasion it is, so externally uneventful it was in terms of Prabhupada's reception. Srila Prabhupada said, he said, when I got off the ship, I didn't know whether to turn left or to turn right. Here was somebody who was going to change the course of history. And no one really noticed them. Oh, in my bottom left corner, I have Rohini. Hare Krishna. No one noticed, except that he was somebody dressed in robes. Strange old man dressed in robes. But Srila Prabhupada was doing just that with his books, because that's really all he had with him. And with the Maha Mantra, Srila Prabhupada was changing the world's karma. For all these faces I see here, Prabhupada wiped off our karma. No karma. Whatever we're experiencing in this world, you can thank Krishna for, but it's the karma's gone. And for the rest of the world, I was even thinking this morning how, you know, even when people would complain about the Hare Krishna movement, oh, these Hare Krishnas are doing this and bothering people at the airport or chasing people down the street with their books. And sometimes people would be derogatory. They would really be against the Krishna consciousness movement, saying the Hare Krishnas, the Hare Krishnas, the Hare Krishnas. But they were saying Hare Krishna. And they were saying Hare Krishna in an offenseless way, although a faithless way. And their spiritual life began by doing that. Someone may have had a bad impression of Krishna consciousness and never come to Krishna consciousness in this life. But they said Hare Krishna, and that means that in their next life, they're going to continue devotional service, and they will have forgotten their bad experience on the street or at the airport or wherever. So they will just then continue from where they left off. It's a long-term plan. It's going for the next 9,500 years. So Prabhupada was changing destiny, changing history, and no one even noticed him. And even for those subsequent 12 years that Prabhupada was with us, he was appreciated by his followers, but really not by anybody else. At least he wasn't appreciated in the way that he should have been. Some people appreciated him as a scholar or as an author, as a representative of an Indian tradition. And so hopefully we as his followers really do justice to Srila Prabhupada's greatness and his extraordinary position, which becomes increasingly clear as we become increasingly Krishna conscious ourselves. And for me, as Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and who's fortunate to meet with Prabhupada and to speak with him, albeit in limited ways, my main concern is that now subsequent generation and 55 years, we're three generations down the road. So myself, and the next generation and their generation, that Prabhupada is not relegated to being a historical figure. But that he, which means that Srila Prabhupada's instructions are really the core of our lives. That how we eat, how we work, how we think, how we raise our children, what we teach our children, how they continue life, all of this is based on, it's based on what we get from Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada is not speaking some relative opinion. Sometimes people think, oh, Srila Prabhupada is influenced by Victorian India in terms of his opinions on things. My understanding is that Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us from the spiritual world. And what he says is the absolute truth. And it's that absolute truth which is the perfect everything for every part of our lives. So this foundation of Srila Prabhupada as our lives, this is why Prabhupada was so vehement about this founder acharya principle. It's obvious that Srila Prabhupada was not a egotistical person, that he was concerned for his own recognition. But recognizing and owning the instructions of the founder is the security of a disciplic succession. So we see religious traditions that succeed, or in other words, that continue on for centuries and millennia, are because they at least keep their founder in the forefront. And even in some religions, that keeping the founder in the forefront is really only even symbolic, because they don't even necessarily follow his instructions. But still, that principle really, really has effect. What to speak of if devotees actually really follow Srila Prabhupada's example in very, very wonderful and ideal way. Let me just turn this a little this way. That's it. Then the shadow's going to go that away instead of coming up right in front of me. So my request is that whatever you're doing in life, make sure that Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's instructions are your life. And that way, we will do justice to Srila Prabhupada and our lives will work. You may not have the picture-perfect vision of happiness that you envisage, but you will be spiritually successful. So, and of course, this is something you hear me say a zillion times. Always be reading and studying Srila Prabhupada's books. And the ultimate issue, when the dust clears, Prabhupada's books are our primary praman. I'm saying when the dust clears, because there may be so many opinions. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada wrote this, Prabhupada told me this. But the Prabhupada placed emphasis on his books over and over and over again as our authority. And in Srila Prabhupada's books is the key to go back home, back to Godhead. Going back to Godhead is a process. When Prabhupada says, go back to Godhead, he's giving us a process to go back to Godhead. Just like when Rupa Goswami says, Krishna prema pradayate, it means the process for getting Krishna prema. You've given the process for Krishna prema. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada has given us the process for going back to Godhead. But it's up to us to really unpackage and put that process to work. There are two sort of events and quotes that for me are always very, very symbolic of what it takes to be recognized by Krishna. And it's shown in Srila Prabhupada's own departure and arrival here in America. Well, not here in America. Good thing is we're not in America. They're in America. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days in Calcutta, then he was going around doing preaching programs with a certain Mr. Roy, who was a professional bhajan singer. Uh, this gentleman came to Chaitanya College sometime back in 1981, 82, and told us stories. I don't know how perfect those stories are, but told us stories about Srila Prabhupada. But in Prabhupada Lilamrita, you have that very beautiful statement that he accompanied Srila Prabhupada to the ship, boat. Hardly can be called a ship by today's standards, the Jaladuta. And then he said, I just watched him walk up the gangplank and go into the ship. And he was just this lone old man on what he called his mission. And then his saint went to says, but I didn't know that it was such an important thing. In other words, neither did this professional singer, neither did Srimati Murarji, who was in charge of the Sindhya ship, who gave Prabhupada free passage. Neither was it the captain of the ship, or for that matter, anybody else really thought that Prabhupada was going to achieve anything. So they couldn't imagine. And for me, that was one thing, this concept of Srila Prabhupada being alone, and at the same time, couldn't imagine how he could, what a momentous occasion this was. And of course, the other is the version that Prabhupada's son, Vrindavan Day, says. Which was sort of a new version on the 40 rupees that Prabhupada had with him. Now you have to remember, 40 rupees in those days, when I first went to India, it was 8 rupees to the dollar. I used to really feel rich. I get one of these and I get 8 of those. And the buying power in India was about a rupee equaled a dollar at that time. So limca was 25 pice. Soft drink. And rickshaw rides were 25 pice, 50 pice most. So Srila Prabhupada had 40 rupees, which is $5. It was 1965. So $5, you go, you get on a boat, and you go to a country where you've got a sponsor that you, you've never seen, and they've never seen you. But then Vrindavan said that, you know, he took Srila Prabhupada to his room, and he had a quite comfortable room. And then Prabhupada gave him these 40 rupees. He says, take this, what will I do with it? That means Prabhupada didn't come with 40 rupees, Prabhupada was penniless. And he had $20 from the captain because he sold him 3 books on the ship. And Srila Prabhupada was alone, and he had nothing except his books. In Butler, Pennsylvania, Prabhupada was, which was where he first went. He just lived by the grace of the Agarwals. Which is very interesting because this is 1965. So these Agarwals, they were, his father was, lived in Mathura. So he may well have been a Brijbasi. For a Brijbasi to marry a Westerner in 1965, that's why he was in America. Because in India, he would have been in a very difficult situation. But Sally Agarwal, the American wife, she was very favorable. She was very open to Srila Prabhupada. And really spoke very beautifully of him. And when Srila Prabhupada arrived, there were, you know, now seeing Hare Krishna's is sort of an understood sight, although in most places they mistake us for Buddhists, unfortunately. Our preaching will be very successful when the Buddhists are mistaken for Hare Krishnas. Then we're doing the right thing. So obviously, Srila Prabhupada's presence was an embarrassment to the neighbors. All of a sudden, there's this man in robes walking around the garden, mumbling early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. So she took him to the town newspaper, Butler Herald, I think so. I was in Butler. I went there with Satsarup Maharaj to interview for Leelamrita long, long time ago, 78. And we went to the Butler Eagle, and the newspaper writer was still there. Who did an article on Srila Prabhupada. He was very derogatory. He was very unfavorable, interestingly. But you have this picture of Srila Prabhupada, and he's quite stout, actually. And Prabhupada standing at a blackboard, and some of the things they say about him is that he won't accept a woman's cooking. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada's sannyasi standard was very strict. Sannyasis don't accept, well, they cook for themselves. Brahmins cook for themselves. And that was Prabhupada's practice in Vrindavan. Although we have many, many, many examples of Prabhupada eating at the homes of grihasthas. And Prabhupada was very, very straightforward, although very much aware that now he was in a Christian country. But he was in for everything else that America is, he was in a very free country. And he could really say what he wanted to say. And Prabhupada, I think, stayed in Butler for a couple of months, and then he wanted to go to New York. And somehow he had this acquaintance it's Mishra, this yoga teacher, Mayavadi yoga teacher, Mr. Mishra. On the strength of that connection, Prabhupada went to New York. Prabhupada didn't travel all the way from India to go to Butler, Pennsylvania. Butler was sort of like Watford, maybe a cross between Watford and Radlett. That's for people who live in the UK. They know what it's like. It was only known for one thing, and that's because they manufacture Jeeps over there. That's it. So here's Srila Prabhupada. He's 70 years old. He's had two heart attacks on this ship. He didn't return because of those heart attacks. He continued. And then he came to New York, where he was really in an unprotected environment. Then they put Prabhupada on a bus and gave Prabhupada a bag of coins. I guess they were, you know, what you always do. You have extra change, you throw it in a box. So that type of extra change. They gave Prabhupada that extra change. His boxes of books, his trunks of books. And that was it. And this was a night bus, so it was something like midnight. And Prabhupada went alone to New York City. So in that period between now, meaning 1965, or that would be in, say, October or something, or November of 1965, up until late spring of 1966, Srila Prabhupada lived by selling the books that he had. That's what he lived off of. So when Prabhupada wrote to us and kept emphasizing, just distribute my books and Krishna will provide everything that you need, Krishna speaking from experience. I mean, Prabhupada speaking from experience. Because that's what happened to him. He just lived by the sale of his books. He didn't depend on anything else. Uh, And a few days ago I did podcast about how Krishna puts his devotee in position of difficulty. In order to, he puts his eternal associate in difficulty just in order to show us who are conditioned souls how to depend on him. So look at Srila Prabhupada's example. He left his comfort zone, that's called Vrindavan. No one goes hungry in Vrindavan. Besides, he had the Gaudiya Mathas in India, so Prabhupada was always secure. But he left all that and he went penniless to this country. And he did it solely on the basis of the faith of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's order. Which was transmitting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. Vitiviti achyatra nagaradi gram sarvatra prachari hoi bimura nam. And Prabhupada had such extraordinary faith in Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, in in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, and in the strength of the disciplic succession. So, penniless to India, penniless to New York, live penniless in New York, and in such an environment that when it snowed, Prabhupada thought everyone had just painted the houses white. He didn't know what snow was. So it's a... And from there, Prabhupada entered into this 22nd Avenue, he signed a contract to rent the storefront and the apartment. And he had enough money saved up to give 1 month's rent. But he hadn't the faintest idea where the money was going to come from. But it came. And the money came, and the devotees came, and the devotees weren't the intellectuals of society, they weren't the upper crust, they weren't necessarily the educated university graduates, rather they were just the opposite. They were the rejects, the dropouts, university dropouts, the draft dodgers. And so such a contrast, Krishna had a plan that sort of emphasizing how Prabhupada not only came penniless, all alone, but then he had to take the least qualified people, and turn them into the most qualified yogis, perfect bhakti yogis, pure devotees. And that's Prabhupada's greatness. If you go from up to the next step up, that's one step. But if you take somebody from the bottom to the top, then that's something else. And that was what Srila Prabhupada did. He took people from the bottom, from the very, very bottom, and he took them to the top, or rather gave them the stairway to go to the top. Now, whether we go to the top or not is whether we take the stairway to heaven. So there is a stairway to heaven. Prabhupada gave that stairway to heaven. And to really show our appreciation for Prabhupada, we do when we become real pure devotees. That's ultimately what Prabhupada wanted. That's the bottom line behind the book distribution, the temples, the deity worship, the restaurants, Mayapur Center, Mayapur Chandradoya Mandir. Everything has one primary purpose. And that is that you all become pure devotees. And when you do, that really shows Prabhupada's greatness. It depends on our effort. Prabhupada will not make you or force you to do that. He has given us the packaging. He's given us all the ingredients. He's given us the stairway, the process. Now the rest is up to us. And that's how we glorify Prabhupada, by actually perfecting what he gave us. So there's so many things that one could speak about Srila Prabhupada and what an extraordinary person Srila Prabhupada was. A long time ago, I remember speaking with Ranchor Prabhu, who's an architect, my godbrother, and when he was in London, Srila Prabhupada asked them to make plans for the temple in Mayapur. But we're talking about this point that even though devotees weren't always very clear on philosophy and on so many things about Krishna consciousness, because in the beginning there were hardly any books, and reading books wasn't necessarily in vogue either. Whoever devotees were, people were, when they came into Srila Prabhupada's presence and they had association with Srila Prabhupada, they could recognize how that there was something very, very special here, that here was somebody who was very, very extraordinary. They may not exactly understand what or who he was, but no one had the impression that Srila Prabhupada was an ordinary man. just his physical presence, his, you know, spiritualists like to talk about aura. Srila Prabhupada had such a strong, Srila Prabhupada had such a strong a presence. That's what you say in English. It's, you know, if you walk into a wall, then you feel the wall. So when you came into Prabhupada's presence, it was like, I mean, it wasn't like walking into a wall, but it was that striking an effect. And that was even before Srila Prabhupada started to talk. And when Srila Prabhupada started to speak, especially if Prabhupada started to get very animated, or if you were so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada started to get angry, then literally it was like a tsunami. It was like being hit by a tidal wave. So it was an extraordinary experience. Many devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, had personal or collective experiences of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes when Srila Prabhupada would arrive at the airport, Prabhupada would come, he would be, it would seem like there were, you know, spotlights on him and behind him. That's just an example. And devotees would say, "Did you see that?" And then the devotee said, "Yes, they saw it." Or sometimes it was only just one person who would see it or experience something. So Srila Prabhupada came, by his admission, Srila Prabhupada came from the spiritual world, not by his desire, but by Krishna's request. In fact, it wasn't even Krishna's request, it was Krishna's insistence that Prabhupada come. You write the books, and when you finish, then you can come back. So, just keep that in mind, that for Krishna, the primary mission was write the books. The farms, the temples, the deities, restaurants, all of these things are just to facilitate the books. So don't keep the books sitting on the shelf. Read them. Distribute them. Uh, there's, because this is Krishna's mission for Srila Prabhupada, so there's a very special taste, very unique taste of distributing and selling Prabhupada's books to others. Satnam, you're right in the middle of my computer. Is that true? Yes. There's nothing like it. And when we used to, well, that was when, I'm saying we, because in the airports we had the opportunity where, you know, six devotees can be in a 50 square meter space. And our aspiration was always to just, when a time to leave our body is to drop dead selling books. So it's certainly would be the best way to go. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, somehow we should try to do that, whether it's to friends, relatives, online, the world's at your fingertips. And Prabhupada's books are available in so many languages, where they're certainly available in English and Russian. They're all available in Hungarian. We're working on it in Turkish. I see Nilufer there. She's right underneath Satnam. We're working on it in Turkish. And our main business and our key to success is continuing distributing Prabhupada's books. And those who haven't had the experience, it's good to get it because it's a Purnamrita Svadhanam, it gives the nectar, the taste of the nectar for which we're always anxious. So that's what Prabhupada came with. Srila Prabhupada came with some muesli, a little bag of muesli. And small suitcase and three trunks of books. So it's Prabhupada's arrival, and what he arrived with are very, very clear indications of Srila Prabhupada's mission and message. And no doubt Krishna consciousness is not not an easy life. But it's certainly not a boring life. But Prabhupada, as I mentioned, he gave life, he gave us a life that's worth living. Because aside from just eating and sleeping and maintaining a family and continuing generations, Prabhupada gave us this opportunity, You know, they have this phrase now, to make a difference. To really make a difference in people's lives. To give people something very, very wonderful. And in the way that Srila Prabhupada removed our karma, we have the opportunity that we can also just clear other people's karma and give them that path back home, back to Godhead. That's a nice life. It's a life, life worth living. It's a little different than what we're used to. It's a life that's about giving rather than about taking. And sometimes when I'm trying to brainwash the teenagers here in New Rajadam, I'm trying to explain to them that it's time to stop taking and it's time to start giving. And this is, that's the real, and we have something to give. And a lot of people, very, very wealthy people, who are giving so much, but actually we're the ones who have really something to give. And we have something to give because we received something from Srila Prabhupada. I think I need to stop at this stage. One reason is that the sun is going down. But that's the other reason is that sort of my allotted time for sitting is up, and I should I need to stand up a little to move around. Otherwise, it's very uncomfortable. And I think I've spoken enough. We did our experiment. Did languages come across okay? Rohini, where's Bhima and Gopi? They're inside. And anyway, I see so many devotees. I can't name everybody, but it's so nice to see everybody. Bhima, Hare Krishna. I can't hear you, but if you wave to me, then I'll see you. Okay, you forgot to put your tilak on. Hare Krishna. It's nice nice to see Gita Nagari. And New Rajadam, I see the curtains. I've been looking at curtains for a long time. And then there's Varshana and family and Ma. And on the next page, anyway, so many devotees. And nice to see everybody. I don't want to name everyone. And who did I see? I saw Shiromani over here as well. And Hare Krishna. Oh, Mangala Gopi, it's late for you. What time is it? Show it on your fingers. It must be midnight. I can't hear because I'm disconnected from the sound. Okay, Deva Prastha's heading off to the UK. I hope everything is good. Vasanti, Hare Krishna. Where are you? You look like you're a tourist place. And then Attila is above Vasanti. And there are so many others. And Mahadev's got his sunglasses on. Looks like a biker. Hare Krishna. And Nishinga Pran and Manjwali are over there. Okay, and there's a whole page of... Gopi Gita. That's another Gopi Gita. Okay, I can't say hello to everyone. Oh, look, there's Shrimati in Australia. That must be really late, or it's early. That means 8 hours. That means it's 3 o'clock in the morning. That's right. Okay, thank you. That's a good message. And Chakori's right below you with Alistair. Hare Krishna. Okay. Lovely to see everybody. And I'm going to... I just have to take a picture of... Oh, and here's another reason to go inside. I don't know if you can see him, but that's a mosquito on my knuckles. And... So, thank you all very much. Oh, there's Gopi on the side. The Hare Krishna. Okay, lovely to see families together. And, well, I'll be in touch soon. Let's see if I get to squeeze it in next week. I take, constantly taking pictures of new Rajadam sunsets. And if you look at my arm, the sun has moved from there to there. That is, that's about 45 degrees, and it's going to keep moving. It's going down. Hare Krishna. See you all soon. Thank you, Chaitanya Chandra, for organizing everything. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Okay.